Alexandra Bracken's The Darkest Minds has captivated millions with its haunting vision of a future where children with supernatural abilities are feared and imprisoned. This New York Times bestseller, which later inspired the 2018 film adaptation starring Amandla Stenberg, taps into universal themes of identity, power, and resistance that resonate deeply with readers across generations. Bracken wrote the novel while working in the publishing industry, drawing inspiration from her fascination with government response to crises and the resilience of youth. The book's exploration of prejudice and institutional oppression has made it particularly relevant in our politically divided times, with readers often citing its portrayal of friendship amid adversity as its most powerful element. As we dive into this dark yet hopeful world, prepare to encounter a story that challenges our understanding of what it means to be different in a society that demands conformity. In Alexandra Bracken's dystopian America, a mysterious disease called idiopathic acute neurodegeneration, IAN, has decimated the child population. Those who survived developed supernatural abilities, classified by colors: greens with enhanced intelligence, blues with telekinesis, yellows who control electricity, reds with fire manipulation, and the rarest and most feared, oranges with mind control abilities. The government's response was swift and merciless. Children were rounded up into re-education camps that function more like concentration camps, where they're sorted by color and subjected to brutal treatment. The story begins 6 years after the pandemic, with America in economic freefall. Cities lie in ruins, infrastructure has crumbled, and the government has transformed into an authoritarian regime under President Gray. The once vibrant Los Angeles is now a wasteland of debris, abandoned cars, and military checkpoints. The electromagnetic pulse that accompanied the IAN outbreak fried electronics, leaving much of modern technology useless. Families have been torn apart, with parents forced to surrender their children to the camps or face severe punishment. What makes this dystopian setting particularly chilling is how plausible it feels. The government's propaganda machine works overtime to convince the public that these children are dangerous threats rather than victims. Television broadcasts show President Gray promising safety while implementing increasingly draconian measures. Meanwhile, ordinary citizens struggle with food shortages, lack of medical care, and the constant fear of military enforcement. The camps themselves represent the darkest aspects of human nature. How quickly society can turn on its most vulnerable members when driven by fear. At Thurmond, the largest camp where our protagonist Ruby was imprisoned, children wear color-coded uniforms that strip them of individuality, are subjected to painful white noise that suppresses their abilities, and face physical and psychological torture from the PSFs who guard them. The factory, where children are forced to work, stands as a symbol of their exploitation. Through this bleak landscape, Bracken asks us to consider, how easily could our own society slip into such darkness? What would we sacrifice in the name of security? And most importantly, who do we become when we allow fear to override our humanity? Ruby Daly's transformation from a frightened prisoner to a powerful revolutionary forms the emotional core of The Darkest Minds. When we first meet her, she spent 6 years in Thurmond camp after erasing herself from her parents' memories on her 10th birthday, the day her orange abilities manifested. Living in constant fear of discovery, as oranges are considered too dangerous to live, Ruby has buried her true nature so deeply she barely recognizes herself. What makes Ruby's character so compelling is her profound moral complexity. Despite possessing the ability to control minds, she's terrified of her own power. Black is the color of memory, she tells us in the prologue, and for Ruby, memories are both weapon and wound. Her greatest fear isn't the PSFs or even death, but accidentally hurting those she loves by entering their minds. This reluctance to use her abilities, even when they could save her, creates a fascinating internal conflict that drives much of the narrative. Ruby's escape from Thurmond marks the beginning of her evolution. Rescued by Children's League agents Kate and Rob, she quickly discovers their motives aren't entirely altruistic. when she flees their control and joins Liam, Chubbs, and Zoo in their beaten-up black minivan, affectionately named Black Betty, she finds something she's been denied for years, genuine human connection. The road trip that follows becomes Ruby's education in both survival and self-acceptance. Each challenge, from encounters with skip tracers to navigating abandoned towns, forces her to confront her abilities rather than hide from them. When the group reaches East River, a supposed haven for kids like them, Ruby meets Clancy Gray, the president's son and the only other orange she's ever encountered. His mentorship helps Ruby develop her powers, but his manipulation teaches her an even more valuable lesson. Power without compassion leads to corruption. By the novel's conclusion, Ruby has made the ultimate sacrifice, erasing herself from Liam's memory to protect him from the Children's League, showing how far she's come from the girl who once hid from her own shadow. She chooses to fight from within the system, joining Cole's faction of the League to liberate other children from camps. Ruby's journey resonates because it speaks to universal adolescent experiences, discovering your own strength, finding your voice, and learning that what makes you different can also make you powerful. Her transformation isn't just about embracing her abilities, but about choosing to use them for something greater than herself, even when that choice comes with heartbreaking personal cost. In a world where biological families have been shattered by disease and government intervention, The Darkest Minds explores how people create new bonds that sustain them through trauma. The found family that forms between Ruby, Liam, Chubbs, and Zoo becomes the emotional heart of the story, demonstrating how connection can flourish even in the harshest circumstances. Each member of this makeshift family brings something essential to their collective survival. Liam Stewart, a blue with telekinetic abilities, provides leadership tempered with compassion. His unwavering moral compass and protective nature make him the group's emotional center. Charles Chubbs Merriweather, a green with enhanced intelligence, contributes skepticism and strategic thinking, his initial hostility toward Ruby gradually transforming into fierce loyalty. Suzume Zoo Kimura, a young yellow who can manipulate electricity, communicates without speaking, a self-imposed silence after trauma, yet connects deeply through her resilience and kindness. What makes their relationship so powerful is how it develops organically through shared hardship. The long drives in Black Betty, nights spent in abandoned buildings, and meals cobbled together from whatever they can find create an intimacy that transcends their differences. When Zoo traces letters on Ruby's palm to communicate, or Chubbs reluctantly shares his precious books, or Liam teaches Ruby to drive, these small moments of normalcy become profound in a world that has denied them everything. The contrast between this chosen family and other relationships in the novel is striking. At East River, Clancy Gray has created a community based on hierarchy and control rather than genuine connection. The Children's League offers protection but demands blind obedience. Only within their small group do Ruby and her friends find acceptance without conditions. This theme reaches its emotional peak when the group is separated. Ruby's decision to erase herself from Liam's memory to protect him, "I'm so sorry, but I'd rather have you hate me and be alive than love me and be dead," demonstrates the ultimate sacrifice for family. Similarly, when Chubbs is critically injured protecting Ruby, his words, "worth it," speak volumes about the depth of their bond. In creating this found family, Bracken offers a powerful message. In a world determined to categorize and separate people based on their differences, choosing to see and value others fully is itself an act of resistance. The love between these characters doesn't just help them survive, it becomes the very reason they fight to change their world. The Darkest Minds refuses to offer simple answers about resistance against oppression, instead exploring the ethical complexities that arise when fighting a corrupt system. Throughout the novel, characters must grapple with difficult questions. Is violence justified when used against violent oppressors? Can you fight for freedom without becoming what you're fighting against? Where is the line between resistance and terrorism? The Children's League represents one approach to resistance: organized, militaristic, and willing to use children's abilities as weapons. When Ruby first encounters League agents Kate and Rob, they present themselves as saviors, but their true agenda quickly emerges. They rescue children from camps not purely from compassion, but to recruit soldiers for their cause. Cole Stewart, Liam's older brother and a League operative, believes the ends justify the means, that sacrificing some children might be necessary to save the majority. In contrast, Liam represents a more idealistic approach to resistance. Having fled the League because he refused to participate in violent operations, he believes in finding a third option beyond submission or becoming like their oppressors. His search for the Slip Kid, rumored to help reunite children with their families, reflects his hope for peaceful resolution rather than escalation. Clancy Gray offers yet another perspective, as the Slip Kid himself. The president's son has created East River as a seemingly idyllic community where children can use their abilities freely. Yet his methods reveal a different kind of tyranny, one based on manipulation rather than force. His betrayal of East River's residents shows how easily the language of liberation can be corrupted to serve personal power. Ruby's own journey through these competing visions of resistance forms the moral backbone of the story. Initially, she rejects her orange abilities, seeing them as inherently harmful. When she does use them, it's reluctantly and defensively. But as the novel progresses, she must confront difficult truths. Sometimes protection requires aggression, and sometimes good intentions lead to harmful outcomes. The raid on Thurmond at the novel's conclusion brings these moral questions to a head. Ruby chooses to join the Children's League not because she believes in their methods, but because she sees an opportunity to change them from within. Her decision to erase Liam's memories, violating his mind to protect him, demonstrates the painful compromises resistance sometimes demands. Through these conflicting approaches, Bracken avoids simplistic moral lessons. Instead, she presents resistance as necessarily messy, with characters making imperfect choices in impossible situations. The novel suggests that the most important aspect of fighting oppression isn't maintaining moral purity, but remaining connected to one's humanity and the people worth fighting for. At its core, The Darkest Minds is an exploration of control, who has it, who doesn't, and what it means to truly be free. The novel examines various forms of control, from the government's physical imprisonment of children to more insidious psychological manipulation. The rehabilitation camps represent the most obvious form of control. Children are sorted by color, forced to wear uniforms that erase individuality, and subjected to white noise that suppresses their abilities. The daily routines are designed to break their spirits through repetition and punishment. Ruby describes how even after years at Thurmond, the sound of the morning alarm still makes her heart race with panic. This physical control extends to medical experimentation, with children disappearing to the infirmary and returning changed or not returning at all. More subtle forms of control appear through propaganda and information manipulation. President Gray's administration has convinced many Americans that these children are dangerous threats rather than victims. Television broadcasts show carefully edited footage of children using their abilities destructively while hiding the government's own atrocities. Even parents are controlled through fear, forced to report their own children or face punishment. What makes the novel's exploration of control particularly nuanced is how it examines self-imposed limitations. Ruby's refusal to use her orange abilities represents a form of control she exerts over herself out of fear of becoming a monster. Similarly, Zoo's self-imposed silence reflects her attempt to control her trauma by withdrawing from verbal communication. Even Liam, who appears most free-spirited, controls himself through rigid moral boundaries. The counterpoint to these various forms of control is the novel's vision of freedom. True freedom in The Darkest Minds isn't simply physical escape or the absence of restraint, it's the ability to choose one's own path and accept one's complete self. This is why East River initially seems like paradise to Ruby and her friends. Beyond the physical safety it offers, it represents the freedom to use their abilities without shame and to form connections without fear. The relationship between Ruby and Clancy illuminates this theme most clearly. Both are oranges, with the ability to control others' minds, but they make radically different choices. Clancy embraces his power without moral restraint, seeing other people as tools to be manipulated. Ruby, despite her fear of her abilities, ultimately chooses to use them with consideration for others' autonomy. Their contrast suggests that true freedom requires self-knowledge and self-restraint, the very opposite of Clancy's unrestrained power. By the novel's conclusion, Ruby makes the painful realization that sometimes freedom requires sacrifice. Her decision to join the Children's League represents a loss of personal freedom, but gains her the opportunity to fight for others' liberation. This complex understanding of freedom, not as an absolute state, but as an ongoing negotiation between personal desire and collective responsibility, gives the novel its emotional and philosophical depth. Memory serves as both a literal and metaphorical battlefield in The Darkest Minds. For Ruby and other oranges, the ability to access, manipulate, and erase memories is their most feared power. But beyond this supernatural element, the novel explores how memories shape identity, how their absence creates wounds, and how controlling the narrative of the past determines the future. Ruby's relationship with memory is deeply traumatic. On her 10th birthday, when her orange abilities first manifested, she accidentally erased herself from her parents' memories, turning herself into a stranger in her own home. This formative experience haunts her throughout the novel, creating a profound fear of her own abilities. Black is the color of memory, she tells us in the prologue, associating memory with darkness and danger rather than preservation and comfort. The government's approach to memory is equally destructive. Children in camps are forced to forget their past lives through repetition and punishment. PSFs refer to them by numbers rather than names, erasing their individual identities. The white noise used to suppress abilities also serves to disorient and confuse, making it difficult for children to maintain clear memories of life before imprisonment. Clancy Gray represents a different relationship with memory, one of exploitation and violation. Unlike Ruby, who fears entering others' minds, Clancy delights in it. He sees memories as treasures to be plundered, using what he learns to manipulate others. His teaching Ruby to access memories more precisely seems helpful, but serves his own agenda of control. The novel also explores collective memory and how controlling historical narratives shapes society. President Gray's administration has created an official story about the children, that they are dangerous, that the camps are for rehabilitation rather than punishment, that the government is protecting rather than exploiting them. This manipulation of collective memory allows the continuation of atrocities. Perhaps most poignantly, The Darkest Minds examines how memory creates connection. When Ruby finally allows herself to fully enter Liam's mind, she experiences his memories as if they were her own. His childhood with Cole, his parents' divorce, his time with the Children's League. This intimate sharing creates a bond deeper than physical connection. Conversely, when Ruby erases Liam's memories of her at the novel's conclusion, she severs this connection in the most painful way possible. The novel's treatment of memory culminates in Ruby's ultimate sacrifice, using her abilities to make Liam forget her completely. This act represents both the destructive and protective potential of memory manipulation. By removing his memories of their relationship, Ruby protects Liam from the Children's League, but also inflicts a profound wound on both of them. The tragedy lies in Ruby's understanding that sometimes the greatest act of love is allowing yourself to be forgotten. The color-coded classification system in The Darkest Minds serves as a powerful metaphor for how society categorizes people based on perceived threat or utility. Children who survive IN are sorted into five colors based on their abilities: green, enhanced intelligence; blue, telekinesis; yellow, electrical manipulation; red, fire generation; and orange, mind control. This system determines their treatment, with greens considered least dangerous and oranges and reds marked for elimination. What makes this classification system so effective as social commentary is how it reflects real-world prejudice while adding supernatural elements. Like racial profiling or class discrimination, the color system assigns value and danger based on inherent traits rather than individual choices. Children wear uniforms corresponding to their classification, literally marking them by their abilities. PSF and camp administrators treat them accordingly. Greens receive slightly better treatment and work assignments, while blues and yellows face harsher conditions. The novel explores how external classification affects internal identity. Many children internalize these labels, defining themselves primarily by their abilities rather than their complete personalities. At East River, kids naturally segregate themselves by color, showing how, even in freedom, these imposed categories shape their social interactions. Ruby's relationship with classification is particularly complex. As an orange passing as green, she lives in constant fear of discovery while also struggling with her true identity. Her reluctance to use her abilities stems partly from fear of becoming the monster the classification system says she is. When she finally meets another orange in Clancy Gray, his embrace of their shared abilities both attract and repels her. The arbitrary nature of the classification system becomes increasingly apparent throughout the novel. We learn that some children's abilities don't fit neatly into categories or may evolve over time. Others, like Clancy, can manipulate the system by concealing their true abilities. These exceptions reveal the fundamental flaw in any system that attempts to reduce human complexity to simple categories. By the novel's conclusion, Ruby begins to reject the limitations of classification. Her decision to use her orange abilities to protect her friends rather than control them demonstrates that power itself is neutral. It's how one chooses to use it that matters. Similarly, the found family she creates with Liam, blue, Chubbs, green, and Zoo, yellow, crosses color boundaries, suggesting that meaningful connection transcends artificial categories. Through the color classification system, Bracken offers a critique of how society responds to difference, often with fear, control, and dehumanization rather than understanding and accommodation. The novel suggests that true progress requires moving beyond simplistic labels to recognize the full humanity of each person, regardless of their abilities or differences. Despite its bleak, dystopian setting, The Darkest Minds ultimately delivers a powerful message about hope and resilience in seemingly hopeless circumstances. Throughout the novel, characters find ways to maintain their humanity and create meaning even under brutal oppression, suggesting that the human spirit cannot be entirely crushed by external forces. This theme of persistent hope appears in small moments of defiance and connection. When children at Thurman secretly communicate through hand signals, they preserve community despite the PSF's efforts to isolate them. When Zoo decorates her gloves with butterfly appliques, she asserts her individuality within the uniform system. When Chubbs carefully preserves his books, he maintains a connection to knowledge and imagination that transcends their immediate circumstances. The black minivan, affectionately named Black Betty, becomes a powerful symbol of this resilient hope. Though battered and unreliable, it represents freedom and possibility, carrying the characters toward an uncertain but potentially better future. The scenes of the four friends driving together, singing along to music, or sharing stories create pockets of joy within the larger darkness. Ruby's personal journey embodies this theme most clearly. Despite experiencing profound trauma and loss, she maintains her capacity for compassion and connection. Her initial fear of her abilities gradually transforms into cautious acceptance as she learns to use her power to protect rather than harm. Even her most painful decision, erasing herself from Liam's memory, comes from a place of hope that he might have a better future. The novel's conclusion balances honesty about the character's circumstances with possibility for change. Ruby joins the Children's League not because she believes they have all the answers, but because she sees an opportunity to influence them from within. Her choice represents a mature understanding that hope isn't about perfect solutions, but about continuing to fight for improvement even when victory seems distant. Perhaps most powerfully, The Darkest Minds suggests that hope itself is a form of resistance in a world designed to crush it. When President Gray's government attempts to break children's spirits through classification, isolation, and punishment, maintaining belief in a better future becomes revolutionary. As Ruby reflects near the novel's end, the darkest minds tend to hide behind the most unlikely faces. This message resonates beyond the novel's supernatural elements, speaking to readers who face their own struggles with identity, belonging, and purpose. By showing characters who maintain their essential humanity despite everything designed to strip it away, Bracken offers a reminder that even in our darkest moments, connection and compassion provide a path forward, not to perfect solutions, but to meaningful resistance and the possibility of change.